Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Mavs Fanatics on Almighty Baller Radio.
At the request of our MVP, he's going to lead us in our new favorite song.
Thank you, Master!
Welcome to the Mavs Fanatics Show.
What up?
Part of Almighty Baller Radio.
Yo!
Thank you so much for listening to us. If you're on Dash right now, shout out to everybody on Dash.
Yo! What up, Dash?
Shout out to everybody on Dash.
What's going on?
If you're listening to us on Dash, you can also listen to us on the podcast, on iTunes and Stitcher, also almightyballer.com. You can check us out there. If you miss any part of this show, if you're catching us towards the end, or if you're, you know, you have to leave before this show
that's completely unfortunate.
Finishes, you can catch the rest of it on the podcast. If you're listening to us on the podcast, you can catch us on Dash Radio. So go ahead and download that Dash app. It's good stuff. There's good quality radio. It's free, totally free. There's not going to be anything.
If you don't have it yet, we'll give you a pass. But if you don't have it in like a week or two, something's definitely wrong with you.
Seriously. And so we'll be on Dash from at 3 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. on Thursdays.
That's pretty early and pretty goody. 7:30 is okay.
And if we say that we're recording live, you know that we're lying because we our first one goes out at 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's 3 a.m. in the morning. We're live at DBU or Salem Radio Network. How's it going?
You know that it's not. You know it's not happening at 3 a.m.
Well, technically, I could get us in to Salem at 3 in the morning.
And I could probably get us here. I could probably get us in here at 3 in the morning. By the way, if you're listening to us on Dash or if you're listening to us for the first time, I'm Nick Angstead. I'm a writer at MavsFanatic.com. I also co-host another show called Seeing Stars Podcast.
You do?
And I cheat on you with another podcast.
How dare
another
you?
Another podcast and another show. Other days. Not this week. We're actually not doing one this week. So
I know, but it's because I'm here.
And I am joined, as always, my co-host, Tama Turner.
You forgot the one part, the one and the only.
You can say that.
I'm the one and the only, Tama Turner. It's good to be here. I am a writer, also at MavsFanatic.com. And I also co-host this show, which I thoroughly enjoy doing. It's really fun.
So I feel like we're reintroducing ourselves now because we're on Dash now. This is a new thing. So everybody that's listening on Dash, you get to meet me and Taman, which that's a pleasure for you guys to be able to meet us again.
You'll love us. We agree on hardly nothing.
So this is the Mavs Fanatic Show. And on the Mavs Fanatic Show, Mavs Fanatic Radio, Mavs Fanatic Podcast, Mavs Fanatic, all the things.
We're pretty big Mavs fans.
Mavs Fanatic, drama, quality, radio, theater, podcast of science.
You'll get to learn a lot about us. Again, we don't really agree on much. But the things that we do agree on, we have great convos about.
We do, and we go back and forth, and a lot of times, like Tama said, we don't agree on things, and so there'll be some heated debate. There'll also just be us talking back and forth about Mavericks. What you're getting from us is Tama watches every game. I'm at most of the home games. I'm watching every game, so you get some inside info from us. We get some interviews from different Mavs personalities. We just recently had the Mavericks and the Cowboys Spanish radio announcer Victor Villalba came on our show. We had Mike Fisher on the show.
Chris Arnold.
We had Chris Arnold on the show several times. He's been awesome to us. Isaac Harris from Smoking Cuban. We've had guys call me right now. We've had
he must be listening.
Tim Cato we also had on the show.
Yes, we did.
We had Coach Dave Dufour from B-Ball Breakdown. We got a whole bunch of guests. And when the summer happens
We can't forget about one guest that I love so dearly.
Rob Tom.
We love Rob Tom. We love to troll him on Twitter.
We were talking about the Knicks.
It's sad how we literally both troll him on Twitter when we hear a bizarre story about the Knicks.
Is it trolling or is it just like informing him that Knicks stuff is happening?
It's a slight form of trolling because we only really hit him up when the Knicks do something totally dumb.
That's so funny that we do that. So, of course, please, guys, if you're listening to us for the first time, if you're listening to us on iTunes, please rate and review the podcast. It really helps us with our numbers. It really helps us getting this show out there. We want to grow the show. We really love doing this. And if you guys like what we do, go ahead and give us some stars.
And give us a follow on Twitter.
And give us a follow on Twitter.
@T717. Spell my name right.
And @NickVanExit. And also,
I love that, by the way.
We are presented by MavsFanatic.com, of course. So go ahead and check them out. It's @TheMavsFanatic on Twitter. So that's a little bit about our show. Taman's been a lifelong Mavericks fan. You remember the reunion arena. You were there.
I remember how I knew I was going to be a Mavs fan for life. I will tell the people on Dash listening, I went to a Mavs game when I was 6 years old, and they were doing like a little thing that they do for kids, you know, who's the biggest Mavs fan, and I was just going crazy the whole game. So then two attendants came up to me and my parents, and they were like, hey, we want you to go on the court. You're going to play musical chairs. And I was like, what? Like, this is awesome. You know, how many kids get picked to do that? So I got to go down on the floor at the end of the third quarter. The Mavericks were playing the Rockets, and we got to play. I came in second place. I didn't win, but I got a free t-shirt, a free ball, and a free ticket to another game. So it was really, really fun. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I said to myself, I'm going to be a Mavs fan for the rest of my life. And this is when, at Reunion Arena, where they had the Mavs logo, had the little basketball with Don Carter's hat on it. That's how long I've been a Mavs fan, so it's been a pretty long time.
Don Carter. Shout out to Don Carter.
Right? I've gone through some bad times. I remember 06. I remember 07. I've gone through some great times. I remember the 2011 championship, obviously, which was still phenomenal to this day. And I'm still sticking with them, despite them being a lottery team this year.
And they are a lottery team this year. Let's just go straight into it. So the Mavericks finished with the 9th worst record in the NBA.
Womp, womp.
The draft lottery is May 16th. That's a month away from now. The Mavericks have a 6.1 chance for the top three, for a top three pick.
So you're saying there's a chance.
And they have a 1. I wrote 11.7. That is completely wrong. It's a 1.7 chance for the top number one overall pick.
There's a chance.
There is a chance.
There's a chance.
It's totally possible that the Mavericks could walk away with number one, two, or three. However,
there's a chance.
If you don't know, which even one of my co-hosts, and I won't name names, didn't know that this is how the NBA draft lottery works. One of my co-hosts at Seeing Stars podcast didn't know how the draft lottery works.
Glad it was me.
That the Mavericks cannot get anywhere between 8 and 4. It's impossible. It's just the way that the numbers work out. It's the way that it works out.
The NBA, by the way, has the most bizarre draft rules.
They try to make it so fair, and yet still, there's all these stories about, you know, like the frozen envelope. Have you heard about that? The draft lottery that was it was in the early 90s when Patrick Ewing was going to be the number one overall pick. It was the Knicks, and it was some other team. I can't remember who the team is off the top of my head, but there was they just picked an envelope out.
Oh boy.
And that would be the one that would win. And they said that there's this conspiracy that the Knicks envelope was frozen. So when David Stern stuck his hand in to pick out the envelope when they were announcing the number one overall pick, that he would feel the cold one and he would pick that one out and he would read the New York Knicks are going to be the number one selection. And so since then, there's been all this conspiracy happened. And by the way, the Knicks haven't had any good luck in the lottery.
The Knicks, but don't even get me started.
Okay, no.
I'm not going to get started.
The Dash people don't need to know.
Oh, they're going
to
know.
They don't need to know Taman's just affinity for the New York Knicks.
It's not that. It's just everything.
Fixation on the New York Knicks.
Everything that I predict about them, I'm 1,000,000,000% right on. I've never been wrong on my predictions on the Knicks.
Taman worked for Sirius Radio in New York.
I worked at Sirius XM, WRHU in New York City, and I used to talk about the New York Knicks all the time, and online, and on Twitter, on Facebook, and on callers. We used to have people who used to get so mad at me, and for really no reason, man. I guess because they're Knicks fans frustrated. And then I would be 100% right on my prediction.
And he just literally hasn't stopped talking about the Knicks since then.
And by the way, Knicks, since we started doing
this show. Did
you
just call me Knicks?
No, I said, oh, maybe.
Please don't do that.
Since we started doing this show, remember all the stuff I said they're the greatest comedy show on earth, they're hilarious, stuff?
Yeah.
Am I right? Derrick Rose, Charles Oakley, like Carmelo Anthony, Lala Anthony. Like, am I not right? Crickets.
No, you're right. It's been a complete freak show. But this is not a show this is not a show about the Knicks.
Told you not to get me started.
However, the Knicks lost something else this week, which is part of the crazy draft lottery process that we were talking about. The Knicks lost something else this week. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the New York Knicks were tied with the same exact record. And so they were both tied for the sixth spot in the lottery. And so they did this random drawing that we just watched. And what they do is it literally looks like a lottery that they do on like Channel 8 or whatever. They pick like the Powerball.
Little ping pong balls or whatever.
The Powerball thing where you have the little like time capsule looking thing with a tube sticking out of it. And it's clear. And then the guy pulls all these ping pong balls out of this briefcase. And he shows them to the camera so that everybody knows that it's true. And this was live on NBA TV. This was on a network.
It was, people actually watched. Probably not a lot of people, but some did.
And then he just picked out a ping pong ball and he would be like, New York Knicks. And then he would put it in the tube and he'd go, Minnesota Timberwolves. And he would put it in the tube, and he did four of each, right? And you do four of each, and then you just put it in the tube, and then the air goes through the tube, the time capsule looking thing, and then the balls bounce around, and then one of them just floats up to the top, and he pulls it out, and they go, Minnesota Timberwolves. And the Minnesota Timberwolves,
that's a very good impression of his voice.
Just by just that, simply that ping pong ball, having the will to live and the will to get to the top, made it so that the Knicks have a worse chance in the lottery than the Timberwolves do this year.
And I'm letting it be known right now, when the draft comes and the Knicks probably will screw up again, we're going to call our good friend Rob Tubb.
We probably will.
We probably will.
So now that means, that doesn't really mean a lot for the Mavericks.
No, not at all.
It doesn't. It really doesn't. It doesn't really mean a ton for the Mavericks. It's part of the lottery, and the Mavericks are in the lottery for the first time since
2013.
Yeah. And no, they weren't in the lottery then. They made the playoffs.
No, that's the 1 year.
No, the 1 year they missed the playoffs. And the first time they've been top 10 since
1999.
Wasn't it 98?
Pretty sure it was 99.
Well, the year they got Dirk was the last time they had like a top 7
pick. He was actually good.
Man, holy cow. What a ride it's been. And so here's the lottery order, in case you guys don't know. Thanks to our friends at Tankathon.com that I've been visiting every single day since the season has started. Because that's just how this season has gone. Boston has the number 1 pick via Brooklyn. Man, that's just a train wreck, Brooklyn.
That's a whole other story.
Phoenix, the Lakers, the Sixers, the Magic, the Timberwolves, then the Knicks because of that lottery-type system that we just talked about. The Sacramento Kings, and then the Dallas Mavericks.
There's a chance.
There is a chance. There's a chance. But it's looking like there's like a 96% chance that they'll stay at number 9.
So there's a chance.
And if you're doing math, the other possible chances are that they move down, which is totally possible. If either Sacramento, Charlotte, Detroit, Denver, or Miami jumps the Mavericks, then the Mavericks are moving down. So, but that's for another month. We'll talk about that. Yes. The draft is June 22nd. That's, going to be after
June 22nd.
It's going to be after the finals. And it's going to be also the award show, I think, for the NBA is sometime before then. So we won't even know who wins awards until then, which is kind of crazy to me. Also, the Mavericks have no second rounder this year because of the Nerlens Noel trade, which I accept.
Okay.
I completely accept that. That's something that
we'll get by.
I would much rather have Nerlens Noel.
Yes.
If the Mavericks can sign him, which we'll talk about.
I believe they will.
So the Mavericks season is
all but over.
It is over. It is ended, and they had their exit interviews.
Yeah.
And not a lot comes out of these exit interviews.
Especially when you don't make the playoffs and you've been out of the playoffs for the whole month.
And pretty much your story was written the entire year. The injuries, you have young guys, and then you're tanking, you're not tanking, and then you're organically tanking, then you're alternatively tanking, which alternative tanking is the phrase that we have coined about the Mavericks. That's what they've been doing this year. And then even more so alternatively tanking towards the end of the season. They're playing Jared Utoff and AJ Hammonds as many minutes as they did.
I'm going to say something that's probably going to be unpopular.
What else
is
new?
But I'm a realist. The Mavericks were bad.
They
weren't a good team this year.
They were a bad team. But if you look at them on paper, at the beginning of the season, a lot of people thought they were going to be the sixth pick in the West.
I did, and I was completely wrong. But they were a bad team. And the thing is, I'm not trying to knock...
I thought they'd be a playoff team too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not trying to knock some of the things that they did well this year, some of the potential, some of the promise. But overall, speaking, they were 33-49. That's not a good record. That's not a good team.
No. No, it's not. And a lot of people were upset about that 33rd win because it messed up their lottery chances. Some people even saying that since they won that one more game and they didn't get... below, I guess, Sacramento in the standings, that they missed out on an all-star player, which we'll talk about throughout this summer because the Mavericks are in the draft lottery for the first time in a long time.
And that obviously remains to be seen because if they end up getting a good pick, then nobody's going to care that they won that final game.
Yeah.
We're going to look back and, 2016, 2017, they won that final game. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like if the Mavericks end up getting... number 1 and get Markelle Fultz.
Yeah, will care.
No fans are care about that final game.
Right?
And it's, the chances, it was literally like an 8.9%, you know, like it was literally like a 1% difference.
Right.
So it's, you're not messing up much.
We'll get by.
The Lakers, though, the Lakers have messed up their chances by moving from 2 to 3. That's big. That's an 8.9% chance. That's,
oh, the Lakers.
That's huge. So, but we're not talking about them.
The Lakers.
Couple things from the Mavericks exit interviews this week, and we're going to go through this article on scout.com, which is Mike Fisher's website, and he gave us the top 12 quotes from Mavs exit interviews, which they're not that exciting, but we're going to talk through them and we're going to find exciting things in them, because I think that some of them are really telling about where this Mavericks franchise is going and some of the players and what they're thinking. So we're going to dive into that. The first one I want to read came from Isaac Harris. Shout out to him. He's been on friend of the show. Isaac Harris. He's been on with us in studio, and he was going to come on today, but he had to work, so he wasn't able to make it. He tweeted this. It went as viral as Mavs Twitter can go viral. Got shared around. This is from Dirk Nowitzki. This is about loyalty, and this is this kind of embodies just what Dirk has been to this franchise, and it's an amazing quote. If you were going with a team like I have for so long, if that is what it takes, that is what it takes. I made that decision last summer when I decided to sign on. I knew it was a possibility. At the end of the day, I can't imagine myself in a different uniform. That is why I made that decision. Whatever comes, if we are rebuilding, then I'm the face of that. If we are the championship, then I'm here for that. I just identified myself with the organization so long, with the fan base, with the city, that no matter what the team or the franchise is going through, I'm right there to push it through. Now, I can tell it's getting a little dusty in here for you. I can tell that the tears are coming.
No, you know what? I'm going to when I hear that is, I wonder if that's an un-American thing.
Fascinating,
because a lot of American athletes don't really have that mindset. Some do, but you see a lot of players who will play for for a team for a long time, but then they might get older, their team might rebuild, and they willingly will go to another team to try to be in a championship situation. I mean, look at Dwayne Wade, look at Paul Pierce. You know, I know Tim Duncan, you know, he stayed with the Spurs, but I mean, he's from the U.S. Virgin Islands. I know
he almost went to the Magic.
Yeah.
There was a time he almost signed with the Magic at some point.
I mean, it's like you see a lot of older players here in America, I feel, don't have that mentality. So I'm wondering is it a foreign mentality, and that's a good quality to have? I don't know.
The word that was being attached to this quote so much was loyalty. Just the loyalty to a team and just sticking with the team. And right. Loyalty is sort of a weird word because now, and it's interesting that you point out the difference between, you know, a foreign player and an American player, because I think that as Americans, we focus on results so much.
Right.
We focus on numbers. We focus on championships. We focus on
we want to win at all costs.
So much. We want to win at everything. Like, when you hear that America is losing, like, is like 41st in the world in science, you're like, oh, how is America not number
I know,
one?
Right?
When you watch the Olympics and you know, USA loses in a sport, even if it's like the decathlon or something stupid or random, you'd be like, oh, how does America not win?
Remember in 2004 when we had bronze in the Olympics in basketball?
Yeah.
We were irate about that.
That was,
like, we don't do that.
We're one of the lowest moments in America.
Right. In American
international sports history.
Yeah. Like in America, we're not supposed to do that, especially in basketball. That's the one sport that we have in the Olympics. That's ours. Right.
Yeah.
And we came in bronze and we were so mad about that. We had to get the redeem team in 2008. And get every star that we had to go win
that.
Gold and go beat everybody.
Completely.
Right.
And so, but foreign players and other cultures that come from, you know, other places that right. have different values growing up, you look at it and the loyalty is, I mean, it's not the same for every player, obviously. It's not the same.
Sure.
Like, not every foreign player is going to do this. But it could be sort of that distinction between, well, I'm just going to focus on championships, I'm just going to focus on stats and numbers, to, no, I'm here with this organization. This organization has poured into me, and I'm going to pour back into this organization.
Right.
And we don't see that happen very often.
No.
We don't see that happen very often, not just, you know, in foreign players or American players, but in players in general.
I mean, think about the NBA. We talk about it all the time. What Dirk has done with the Mavericks, what Kobe did with the Lakers, what Tim Duncan did with the Spurs.
Yeah.
It's kind of rare now. You don't really see, especially in basketball, players sticking with that team for that long. I mean, look at Dwayne Wade. He left Miami for Chicago. I mean, LeBron James, I know it was a little earlier. He went from Cleveland to Miami and back to Cleveland. I mean, you don't see guys stay in the NBA on one team for 10, 15, 20 years anymore.
And even with that being said, you don't see a team focusing on and keeping a player for that long. You don't see teams be as loyal to a player as much as we've seen it. We hear about how it's the business of basketball, the business of basketball. You hear guys saying like, no, it's just a business. This is me learning about the business of it because, a player gets traded at the trade deadline. You know, the first thing they say is, well, you know, it's a business. This is the business of basketball. We don't see it's both sides. This is definitely a both sides thing.
Sure.
Because even a lot of fans were saying that the Mavericks should trade Dirk. A majority of the fans,
right.
but a good number of fans are saying we should trade Dirk before his trade value diminishes completely so we can get something from him. That's not what this quote is saying. That's not what the heart of this quote is. And the Mavericks and Dirk have both stayed loyal to each other. I mean, through thick and thin, they just stuck it out with each other. And now this is where they are, and it's awesome to see.
At the end of the year last year, how many people were like, oh, maybe Dirk should go to the Warriors. Maybe
he
should go to the Warriors.
That was a real thing.
That was a literally talked about thing. And
Dirk.
Right. Dirk never said anything, but Dirk came back here. He'd rather be with a team that's part of his heart than go to a team that won 73 games and was a minute away from winning the finals. Their second straight finals.
Completely. And what do you think about if we are rebuilding, then I'm the face of that? What do you think about that?
Basically, he's saying, I'm going to be here through the good and the bad. I was here for the championship. I'm going to be here through the rebuild.
But I'm the face of a rebuild. I mean, I'm probably reading too much into it. I just think that that's an interesting thought that, like, he's going to be here through a rebuild and be the face of a rebuild. Because normally the face is the one that's most important. And you think Dirk's still the most important player on the Mavericks?
Yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. Still?
I do. Because of the Mavericks, I still believe if Dirk hadn't been hurt at the beginning of the season, the Mavs could have been in playoff contention, maybe as the 7 or 8 seed.
Man.
I think Dirk being out, if Dirk had been out, we both know they wouldn't have started, 3-13, whatever it was.
That's
true. They wouldn't have started like that if Dirk hadn't missed those games.
He's still the most important
player.
Which
is crazy. After 19 seasons, he's still the most important player.
And
you kind of got to blame Cuban and Donnie for that.
You kind of do because of the composition of the team, but you have to give them a ton of credit for this season because they've built a lot, from nothing basically. They acquired Harrison Barnes this season. They acquired Nerlens Noel this season. You found Yogi as a diamond in the rough. You found Dorian Finney-Smith as a diamond in the rough type player.
I mean, you're saying that I should give them some credit.
Yeah, definitely.
This might be my American thing that we just talked about.
The results.
They didn't. I get it. They're young and they still have pieces, but 33-49 is still at the end of the day.
True, and you don't see the results, but you look at it. You're not gonna look at it. You look at a team like the Lakers. You would say they have a ton of young talent, right?
They have pieces.
Stop. They have a lot of young talent.
They have pieces.
They have young talent.
I'm sorry. I'm a results guy. I don't like. I will admit potential when I see it.
Yeah.
And the Lakers have potential. But they got to put that together and do something.
But that's what you're asking for from a rebuilding team. You're asking them to find potential, and then that's all the front office is supposed to do. The front office is not in charge of developing that potential. Front office is not in charge of necessarily the results. They're in charge of just getting that potential into the organization and injecting that potential into the organization however they can. And so the Lakers have definitely done that. Whether those players turn into something is kind of on the coaches. But
who hires the coaches?
GMs get held accountable for that all the time. But the Mavericks have brought young talent into this team. This team looks completely different than it did last year.
Sure. I mean, I'd say
You have to give them credit for making the moves that they did.
They bought in some young potential. And obviously, it's a wait and see on what they're going to do. But I don't know if I want to say I want to give them credit. I don't want to criticize them, but the verdict is just still out. We don't know yet. We don't know.
No, of course not.
And we can't really give them a verdict, so I don't know if I can give them credit yet because we don't know what that verdict actually is.
But you were blaming them for not bringing in young talent. You were blaming them for not being able to put pieces around her. Now they've started to do that.
It's not that I'm blaming them. It's that Dirk is still the most important player after 19 years. It took you 19 years to figure that out, that you might need to bring in a successor.
But in a year, couldn't Harrison Barnes be the most important?
The verdict's still out. He could be.
He could be. So
Now
they at least have a possibility.
I mean,
it's like the draft lottery. You're saying there's a chance. Yes, there is a chance.
Yeah.
If they didn't have a chance, you wouldn't give them credit for it. But now they do have a chance.
I compare it with the Spurs. Right,
That's impossible. The Spurs are the biggest outlier in sports because they have built something that has never been seen before, besides maybe the Celtics in the '60s.
I'll give the Celtics. You know, 4 years ago they still had their big core, and now they've quickly turned it around.
But you look 4 years. You look at where they were when they acquired Isaiah Thomas. He was not the player he is now.
But this team, that's why I'm saying the verdict is still out there. We don't know with this team, because let's just say 2-3 years down the line the Mavericks are still bad. That means, what's the verdict? That means the verdict is they haven't done anything. That Cuban and Donnie are still to blame for this. The Spurs were smart in the sense, the Spurs are the biggest outlier. And they got smart. They realized, they're like, hey, Duncan's getting older. Ginobili's getting older. Parker's getting older. We got to get some guys in here. We got to get some guys to kind of turn the clock to where Parker and Ginobili and Duncan, obviously Duncan's retired now, but they can kind of take a back seat. The Mavericks, they tried to do that. But again, you're going to be graded by results. They didn't do it. They tried to bring Rondo in here. They tried to bring Monte in here. They tried to bring Darren Williams a little bit when he's a few years back, but before older Darren Williams. Dwight Howard, they tried. They swung for the fences, but they struck out.
If Kawhi Leonard hadn't become the MVP candidate,
right,
would you still call that an attempt at bringing in young talent? And would you give them credit for trying to bring in a guy like Kawhi?
That's hard to say because he ended
up... It's a what-if, obviously. We're also saying, what if they don't turn out to be good players? But I think the Mavericks have players that are projected to be good players.
And they could be, but the verdict's still out.
This is a really sad argument because we're just talking about whether these players are good or not.
Of course. But yes, they are good players, but...
I'm not saying there are going to be LeBron level, Steph Curry level.
I'm not saying that either. But what are we going to be considered a successful season? You know, if the Mavericks make the playoffs next year as an 8 seed and their record is, I don't know,
41 and 40,
something like that, is that successful? Or is, you have to question what is successful. You know, what's the future and what's the now?
Exactly. We've done this all season. And the problem with being a rebuilding team, the problem with being a team tanker type person that you have been all season, is now your expectations have to be different. You have to look at it not in wins and losses, because young players don't bring you wins. Young players, you're not going to bring in young players and
Boston.
All of a sudden, what?
Boston.
Well, Boston just won 50 games, so...
Young players bought you wins.
No.
Boston's a young team.
They're not like first, second-year players like in the league. Isaiah Thomas has been in the league like six years
now.
You have Al Horford
team.
Like the...
I mean, Seth Curry isn't, a first, second-year guy.
Before this year, how many games had Seth Curry played in the NBA?
Whose fault is that? It could be the situation.
48 games. So he's still a young player in this league.
He's still young, but I'm saying there have been a lot of young... I mean, it depends on what we're defining as young, but there have been a lot of young players who have won games. When Seth and Clay and Draymond first got together with Mark Jackson, they won 50 games.
Well, you look at the Timberwolves different than you look at the Mavericks?
Yes. Because the Timberwolves have had many, many years to rebuild, and they have some pieces.
And they've had Karl-Anthony Towns for 2 years now.
And they had Karl-Anthony Towns. They had Andrew Wiggins.
But they don't have wins. They don't have wins. They're not good players then, according to you.
No, I'm not saying that, but they're not showing results. Results are going to be
showing results, so you should just blow it up.
results are going to be what is ultimately what matters. I'll put it like this. If the Mavericks won, they lost 49 games this year.
Yeah.
If they lose between 45 and 50 games, 55 games for the next 5-6 years, what the Mavs did this year, they're good, won't matter. Nobody will care about that.
You're looking at growth. You're looking at growth in the complete wrong way, because it doesn't just go from 10 wins to 20 wins to 30 wins. It doesn't just grow like that. You look at the Oklahoma City Thunder when they had Kevin Durant. They completely missed the playoffs when Durant was in his rookie season, and then after that, they were like...
But that was more Seattle.
They're like 50 too. Wins. Seattle, yeah, they're in Seattle. Then they moved to Oklahoma City, and then all of a sudden, they're like, you know, 40-win team. And then all of a sudden, they're in the playoffs. All of a sudden, they're in the Western...
Well, they got more talent, too.
Right, they're bringing in these young players. Would right. you would you give Sam Presti credit for drafting a Russell Westbrook at the time?
Absolutely.
Okay, so this is what the Mavericks are doing. Definitely on a lower level. No, I'm not saying anybody's going to be as good as Westbrook, but you have to give them credit.
Yeah, I was going to say much on a lower
sure,
level.
Sure, of course, but you have to give them credit for attempting to bring in talent like Nerlens Noel, like Harrison Barnes.
Okay, I'll give them
right.
credit for that.
Yeah, we
but are they going to what will ultimately judge them by is what's going to happen next year or the year after, the year after. And
of course.
And if they don't work out, then it's a failure.
Sure, but you can't...
Because it's like, for example...
But it's not a failure for not trying. Because for a while, we've been saying the Mavericks haven't tried.
Okay.
The Mavericks
haven't
tried to bring in young players.
No. That's not true. The Mavericks have tried. They have tried every single year...
To bring in young talent?
No, it's always
been veterans.
Right, but... Again, your veterans are going to bring you results. I mean, you just said young players are going to bring you results.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. The Mavericks have tried to get better since they won the championship every single year.
I've tried to maintain.
But they have failed every single time.
Sure.
This year, they have young guys.
They completely changed their approach.
They did. They changed their approach. And Nerlens Noel has been here for 2 months, right? Yeah. Harrison Barnes, this was his first year, breakout season. I think everybody's happy with that.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially looking at Memphis Grizzlies and seeing good old Chandler Parsons not getting a suit up.
Right. So it's like, you know, the verdict, we have to wait. We have to see what it's going to be. Do they get credit for bringing those two guys in? Sure. But if they don't end up working out in a year or two or three, we're going to look back and say, well... It failed. It didn't work.
And that's the NBA. That's being a general manager. You're basically your job performance literally has like numbers and wins attached.
And my question is with that, how much time do we give Donnie Nelson?
I think if you're Dallas, you're just going to give him as much time as possible. I mean, you just give him as much time as he wants. I don't think Dallas is going to be the reason Donnie Nelson ends up leaving. I think that it would be Donnie Nelson's.
The Lakers got rid of Mitch Kupchak after they started to do bad after multiple years.
And Mitch Kupchak definitely had a better track record than Donnie
absolutely.
Nelson. For sure. He brought in Pau Gasol.
Right.
He was part of bringing in Shaquille O'Neal.
Right.
Exactly.
So when do the Mavericks say, hey, Donnie, you know, the championship, we love you for it, but that was 6 years ago. Where are we going right now?
I think if you see a Lakers-type situation where right now you're starting the rebuild, let's think of this year as the first year the Lakers, they still had Kobe, but they brought in, like, Mike Brown. You know, remember that year they brought in Mike Brown?
Didn't he only last, like, five games?
Of course, it's not happening that same way coach-wise because, I mean, Carlisle's going to be here. And so they bring in Mike Brown, then they start this rebuild, and then the first year with Byron Scott was, like, just horrible. Just the worst. You're way worse than this Mavericks season. And they didn't have any talent. They just didn't have any young players. Jordan Clarkson, like, started to come on strong for them. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh, Jordan Clarkson. Oh, my gosh. He's, like, a second-round pick. And the guy is probably going to end up being, like, a pretty good sixth man on a playoff team. Like, that's probably his ceiling. And the guy and everybody in L.A. was freaking out about him because that's how low it was for them. So if you look at this season as, like, as the lowest point for the Mavericks, and if they don't see results like the Lakers weren't seeing results, if they weren't seeing the right decisions being made, if they weren't seeing, you know, Cuban and Donnie not being eye to eye with things like the Lakers were seeing. Of course, the Lakers situation is so completely insane because it's family. Jim Buss was
he's still an owner.
He still has like ownership stock.
Yeah, they have issues. Jeannie Buss
and
Jim Buss.
Thank the Lord that the Mavericks don't, thank the basketball gods that the Mavericks don't have the same type of internal issues that say the Lakers or the Knicks have, because holy cow, this could be completely different. The Knicks could be, or the Kings. Look at the Sacramento Kings. Do you want the Mavericks to end up being like the Kings?
No, I don't.
Jeez.
But you know,
and so you have,
but I will say this,
a GM that can work with an owner, it can work with a coach, and it all works. I would rather not mess that up. And he's taking swings on things.
Here's my thing also. Even with Mark Cuban, I'm going to drop the hammer on him too.
Ooh.
And I love Mark. But
Shark Tank.
break glass.
Not even that.
If there's emergency.
When Dirk retires and the Mavericks do nothing, let's say for the first 3 or 4 years post Dirk, Dirk made Mark Cuban.
Yeah, but you can look at any organization and say, like, look at the Patriots and say, did Belichick make Brady or did Brady make Belichick? That can be,
yeah, but
or
the,
did both of them make Robert Kraft?
The Patriots went to a Super Bowl prior to Bill Belichick and prior to Tom Brady when it was Drew Bledsoe and Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
So they had some success.
Yeah.
They got better when they got those two, but it's not like they were just some team in the mud.
And the Spurs, though, you can take the Spurs too. You know,
the Spurs were good with David Robinson,
or you could take Phil Jackson. Take Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Now, Phil Jackson's a great coach, greatest coach.
He's a really bad front office guy, but he's a great coach for sure.
Yes, he's a bad front office guy in the worst situation.
Was he made by Michael Jordan?
No.
Then was Michael Jordan made by him?
They made each other.
Okay, I think Dirk and Mark Cuban are the same way.
That depends to be said, though, because, see, here's the difference. Phil Jackson did it twice. He did it in Chicago and he did it in L.A. Mark Cuban has done it with Dirk. We don't know if Mark's going to be able to do it after Dirk. That's something we don't know yet.
We also have to give credit to Mark Cuban's job is way more than just bringing in players. Mark Cuban's job is actually not bringing in players. It's not Nelson's job. It's to bring in players. So you give.
But I'll say this, though.
But Dirk was here before.
Sometimes Mark Cuban, I love him to death, but sometimes he needs to shut up.
I don't think he will. He's going to be on that Stairmaster.
He's going to answer our questions that we ask him. What I say by that is that, for example, like, and I'm not even saying this because I like this guy, but like, let's say the Russell Westbrook talk, right?
Yeah.
You know, players in this league do talk. And they'll be like, oh, you know, hey, I think I'm about going to Dallas. Oh, he said that Mark Cuban said that crazy stuff. You know what I mean? It's like player. I don't know exactly, you know, what they're gonna their dialogue, but players talk, and word gets around, and you don't want bad. You don't want other players saying bad things about you when you're potentially free agents, friends who are friends. I mean, they talk. I mean, in media, people talk. It, you know, the word and stuff gets around. I'm just telling Mark Cuban, be careful with that.
And yeah, he goes after, you know, it seems like he goes after guys. He just has opinions. But the talk thing goes the other way, too, where players going to talk, what's it like to, you know, play for the team that Mark Cuban owns? And they're like, oh, yeah, we have this jet and we have this, you know, great new practice facility. And Mark Cuban is at, like, you know, a lot of these events that we go to. And I got to talk to him about my business that I want to start. And, you know, I got all this, you know, information from him and talk to him and connections and like blah, blah, blah. Like, it goes the other way, too.
But let me ask you this, though. What big name free agent has come to Dallas during the Cuban era?
Harrison Barnes is the only one.
Right. And we don't know if he's exactly big league. I'm talking about like superstar.
Yeah, that's the biggest one.
Right. So it's like when you're criticizing a guy like a Russell Westbrook, who is a superstar in the NBA, players talk.
But that's
Cuban, he's fun, great place in Dallas, but
the big free agent thing happens to all teams that are not the Lakers or Knicks or, you know, I mean, Miami's the last one that had a really big, and then Golden State, but they already had like great players there, you know, like that's sort of the difference.
Right. But if, you know, you just talked about some of these young players the Mavericks are bringing in, who's to say in 3, 4, 5 years, the Mavericks could be in that position where a big name superstar may want to come here, but bad, you know, Cuban doesn't shut up. You know, I'm not trying to silence Cuban. I'm just saying be careful on what you say.
Don't become a problem.
Right.
And it could totally happen.
Right. You just want to be careful taking that road on criticizing players because players talk.
So let's talk about those players, the players for the Mavericks, and let's talk about some of their comments and coaches as well. We'll talk about what Rick Carlisle said. Right. Sometimes those names are synonymous. Like we throw them together so much, Rick Carlisle, Donnie Nelson.
They're all the
Mark
same.
Cuban. We give them like blame for things that weren't their fault. Like Rick Carlisle didn't bring any players to this organization. Rick Carlisle's job is not to bring players into this organization. Like I love if you're listening right now and you are on Facebook and you are part of this Mavs Nation group that has like 22,000 people in it. I'm part of it because I like to see what fans talk about. I like to see what, you know, Mavericks fans care about. And there's just some of the dumbest things ever written.
Why are you whispering?
Because I don't want them to hear me. there is just some of the dumbest things ever written on that. Like, this guy was saying this week that Dirk should be traded now. It's not going
to
happen.
Well, see, I'm under the impression, and I don't want to try to make myself sound smarter than I actually am, but I'm under the impression that there are a lot of dumb fans in sports.
On Facebook.
And they're all on Facebook. Yeah, they're all on, yeah. It's, and sometimes some of the things I hear or see on Facebook, I'm just like, eh. I can't take it seriously because I know that guy's a moron.
And then there was another moron that was saying that Rick Carlisle, should we get rid of him? We got to get rid of Rick Carlisle. I was like, are you – look me in the eye and tell me you want to get rid of Rick freaking Carlisle.
And you know what kills me also, like when you hear situations like – or I'm not – I don't know what that guy said, but you know, whenever you'll hear things like, oh, we need to get rid of Rick Carlisle. We should talk, you know, Pat Riley out of retirement or something. You say some bizarre thing. Like that's not going to happen.
What is your alternative?
Yeah, right? Like, that's not going to happen. Like, stop.
So let's talk about those players and some of their comments during exit interviews, and let's see if we can pull anything. I think we got some good stuff out of this. So this is Harrison Barnes talking about the state of the franchise. Again, all these coming to us from Scout.com, which is Mike Fisher's site. Shout out to him. I was there for two of them. Let's talk about exit interviews. It's a weird thing because you show up, you go to the practice court, and it starts at 12, and they don't give an end time. It could go forever. And so players just walk in and walk out whenever they want, and they go one at a time, and they have all the cameras set up. They have this little table, like this high-top table set up where you can set your recording device. And then this year, which is different than other years, they had these traffic cones. Taman, they had 12 like huge traffic cones in front of the table so that the media didn't like get in front of the cameras. Let me see if I can find. Here you go. This is a picture of the traffic cones. Look at those.
Wow. Wow.
Tell them what it looks like.
It's like the best I can describe it. It looks like something.
It looks like 35 right now construction.
Yeah, that or like when you walk into like a middle school gym and they're doing some event in there with cones or something.
It's like the combine. There's like doing a cone drill. And so there's all these cones, and so we have to stand on the other side of the cones. And then they just come in one by one, and they just they talk, and they answer any questions we want. And so we just sit there, and then a PR person, whether that's Scott or Alan or Sarah, standing there, and then they send him out, and they bring another guy in, and it just keeps going. And they said it is gone, and I've only done this for 1 year, so I can't say, but other media members have told me that it's gone 5 hours before, where they're just either sitting there waiting for somebody or just guys aren't coming out. It could go for 5 hours. Can you imagine sitting there waiting for 5 hours of exit interviews?
They're going to run on their time.
So this is a quote from Harrison Barnes about the organization. We have a great organization. We definitely had a lot of guys in and out, but I think that group we had at the end of the year really fought like heck. I'm proud of our young guys for stepping in. They were being put in a tough situation with a lot of minutes, and I thought we had them do a lot of responsibilities. I think we have something to build off for next year. Agree or disagree with Harrison Barnes?
I agree.
I think it's interesting that he said, I'm proud of our young guys, which he is one of the young guys.
Well, you know what? You know, I'm glad you brought that.
He's younger than Dwight Powell.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? He's a young guy, but he has a veteran resume.
Completely agree.
And that's what's so important because for a young guy, he's been in two finals, has a championship ring. Has played with, three other really good players in Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green. So he knows what it takes. He knows.
And that's awesome.
And here's the thing about when athletes speak to the media is that, ultimately they have to have
hashtag we the media.
Yeah, they have to hold their words accountable. So, and I think that Harrison Barnes know that, especially the role he took this year in being the number one guy kind of taking the baton from Dirk and trying to, move forward with this franchise. Is that I don't think he would say it if he didn't believe it.
Here's a quote from Dirk talking about whether he's playing next year, I'm confused as to why people thought that was breaking news that Dirk was going to play next year. I thought we had already established that Dirk was going to play next year.
I think it might have been known in Dallas or in Mavland or people who paid attention to the Mavs.
To literally every single thing.
Yeah, like you and I did. It's some of the fans who may have tuned out this year because the Mavs weren't as good were like, oh, wait, Dirk's coming back. They know he's older, so it's probably that crowd.
So this is what Dirk said about playing next season. If I feel like this, like I did at the end of this season, I think I can play another season after that, but I'll just leave that open. Are you on board with Dirk playing one more season after next year? So we're talking now not just playing next year, but the year after that too.
As long as he continues to drink Bud Light. Actually, I hate Bud
Light. He's got 30,000 of them.
Here's the thing. Of course I want to see Dirk back.
It's a weird situation to be in.
Yeah, and here's the thing, and we have seen this with athletes many, many times. Dirk had a very good year this year for a guy in his 19th season.
He really did.
But it's so funny.
Look at Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce can't get off the bench for the Clippers.
Right. We can see older players like that literally regress so badly in a year. And now, based on how Dirk has played, I don't think that will happen. But at the same time, you have to tell yourself, because we have seen Dirk regress a little bit over the last few years.
Oh, of course.
Is that it could happen eventually. And if it does happen, we can't be surprised. If we're getting mad because Dirk is shooting 2 for 14, we can't really be shocked. You look at his age, you look at all the mileage that he has on the body. It can't come as shocking.
And that's why the continuity in the front office and the coaches and Dirk is great, because you bring in a new coach, which we obviously weren't for. If you bring in a new GM, there could be like these unwritten rules that they don't talk about. But sure, for this organization, it's been together for as long as they have. There isn't really unwritten things. It's probably all been said. You know, like they've probably talked about all these things and talked about contingency plans and all this. And I think that, you know, Dirk's going to know when he can't play anymore. Dirk's not one of these guys that's going to keep trying to play, keep forcing the issue when he can't go anymore.
He is this year, what? This is the last year of his contract, right? He signed a two-year deal.
Next year.
No, I'm saying next year, yeah. If he just calls it quit next year, Dirk, I'd be so happy to see your statue outside the AAC and your number hanging in the AAC rafters.
Are you for or against the farewell tour for Dirk? Like the Kobe Bryant, I'm gonna say it in the middle of the season, or the Derek Jeter, I'm gonna say it before the season to the Players Tribune and do all these things and get rocking chairs given to you and gifts from all these teams.
I'll give you two answers. As a fan, I would absolutely love to see it.
Yeah, because you would want to know, right?
You want to know. Yeah, as you know, just as a fan of basketball, fan of sports, Dirk, take whatever route you like. I just feel like when you've done that much and you're that respected across the league in your sport, if you want to go that route, take it. Cool, that's awesome. But if you also want to take the Duncan route, I'm not mad at you either.
Yeah, same here. If that's what he wants to do, go for it. I don't think he's going to do a farewell.
Yeah, I don't think he is either.
Just doesn't seem like the type of guy. So here's Nerlens Noel on free agency vibe. It's not really too much I can control right now. I'm just worried about getting back to work and resting up for a little while. I love Dallas. In my short time here, I've really enjoyed it. I think there's a lot to be excited for. We always get good vibes when we're around each other. And for that last quote, we get good vibes when we're around each other. That's Nerlens Noel in the front office and Carlisle and all that. So, Nerlens Noel, is he coming back or not?
I think he is.
Would you want to give it a percentage?
90%.
90% coming back. I think I would agree with that. I think there's a 10% chance a team like the Nets or somebody random comes swooping in and offers like, you know, a max deal, and the Mavericks would be like, no.
Do you think he'll get the max?
What?
Do you think he'll get the max?
I don't think so. I can't imagine the Mavericks giving Nerlens Noel more money than they would give Harrison Barnes, because that's just how it would work.
I don't know.
That's a hard thing. I don't see it happening. I don't think he's shown that much potential that you could say that he would be a max guy. But then
I'm with you. I'm kind of 50-50. Like, if it happens, I don't think I'll be shocked. But if it doesn't happen, if it's a little bit lower, like, I won't be shocked either.
And I talked about this, me and Chris Axman, who's on the Almighty Baller podcast radio show, Network Theater of Science. Almighty Baller Radio Show. They keep changing it on us. So
I'm trying to get it all down.
I'm getting out of the mode of saying podcast and saying radio show, because this Dash thing is so cool and it's awesome that we get to do this. So
Dash.
But I was talking to Chris Axman. He was saying, who's the team? Like, if there's going to be a team to offer him a max deal, who is it? I mean, you think of the Nets, but they got Brooke Lopez. And so they're not, you know, do they want to have $40 million tied up in Brooke Lopez and Nerlens Noel?
Not at all.
Can you play them together? I don't think so.
No.
Actually, I think you might be able to play them together. Because Brooke Lopez has developed this three-point game now, and Nerlens Noel can switch out on you know, faster, quicker guys, and he can guard all pretty much every four in the league, and some threes, and pretty much all the fives.
Well, I'll say this.
He's an amazing help defender, and Brook Lopez is not a good help defender.
Here's the thing. Harrison Barnes got the max, and a lot of people questioned that last year.
That's a good point.
Did he deserve the max? So if Nerlens gets it, I don't
think... Has Nerlens Noel shown as much as Harrison Barnes did in his first couple years in this?
No. The answer is no. But Harrison, you can make a strong argument that Harrison Barnes did not show enough for a max. You can definitely make a strong argument for that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I
but
don't know.
I'm going to always go back to this. But Allen Crabbe is making a max deal. I actually don't think it's a max deal. I think it's just a really big deal that doesn't make any sense.
Big deal.
Here's Seth Curry talking about his shoulder. I'm taking it day by day. I feel good. I'm going to go hard throughout the summer and next month to see how his shoulder feels when it gets banged on things and that. But I'm not too worried about it. You worried about Seth Curry? You worried about his shoulder? He's going into the last year in his deal, which is he signed a 2-year deal, $3.6 million.
I think it'll be right.
I think it'll be good too. I think it'll be fine.
By the way, I could have just bad ears, but I think you said Steph the first time you said
did
it.
Did I really?
I really think you did.
All right, there you go. Bingo. somebody X that off on your bingo sheet, your Mavs podcast bingo sheet. Somebody called Seth Curry Steph Curry.
Ding, ding, ding.
Devin Harris on his future with the team. It's a team option. The ball's in their court.
Devin Harris has been a veteran. He's a veteran in this league. He knows it's a business. He understands it.
The business of basketball. Then we're back at it again in the business of basketball. Okay, so would you want to bring Devin Harris back? Or you want to go full rebuild and that's the opportunity for
I'll
you to
like
replace
this.
Him with a young guy.
If he's not back, I'm not complaining.
Oh. You're not like attached to him.
No. I mean I like Devin Harris and I like both stints that he had here in Dallas, but he's older, he's had a lot more injuries. If he's not back, you know, I thank you for your time here, but if he wants to go be, you know, a veteran guard on a playoff, you know, a good playoff
I think that's
team,
where the Cavs should have gone, but they got Darren Williams. So.
Yeah, if he wants to be a backup point guard on a playoff caliber team, I'm not mad at that either.
This quote from Rick Carlisle is a big testament to how well this season has been. This season, the continued development of our young guys is the biggest thing. And we'll focus on the draft immediately. I've already looked at the top 15 prospects. And just know that this quote that Rick Carlisle is saying was the day after their season ended. Literally the day after. So they played in Memphis, and then the next day they're back in Dallas, and the season is done. They have no more games left, and they're giving these quotes. I've already looked at the top 15 prospects, and it's a great draft. There's great opportunity there. I don't know which player, obviously, at this point we're going to draft. But we're going to get a good player. I'm really excited about it. Rick Carlisle has already done his homework on the top 15 players in the draft the day after the season. That's how this season has gone. That he had time or that he thought he put priority on looking at those draft picks. And Mavericks fans were saying that this team was not tanking or not, you know, trying to rebuild. They definitely were.
Yeah, clearly.
Clearly they were. Top 15 prospects. I wonder who he thinks is the top 15 prospects. That's interesting to me that he put a number on
it. You have his draft board out?
I would love the Mavericks to pull an Orlando Magic and show us their board.
Show us their draft board.
Jeez.
That's funny.
That Magic GM is gone, by the way. Rob Hennigan.
See ya.
See ya. All right. Here's Dirk on the 30K Club. It's still amazing to me that the 30K Club with all those amazing names, that was my emotional highlight of the season. Was it the emotional highlight of your season, too, for
yes.
the Mavericks? I think it was, too.
Yes. Absolutely.
That was an awesome night.
Yes.
Wes Matthews on his offseason plans. One word, yoga. Wes Matthews is going to do yoga this year.
Hey, I ain't mad at him.
Not either. And then the final word, here's from Rick Carlisle. It's going to be busier this summer with player development internally than it's been. One of the ways we get better is to get better from within. Get better from within. Which player do you expect to have the biggest development over the summer? Of the Mavericks. Which player would you be like come back and be super good and you'd be like, oh, yeah, that's awesome?
Harrison Barnes.
You think Harrison Barnes can improve a ton?
I mean, I do, but not to say like he's bad now, but I think that.
But improvement is relative.
For a guy who this was his first time taking on a leadership role at being the number one guy and whatnot, he obviously did a very good job. He's only 24. I think he's only going to get better. I mean,
yeah.
We
mentioned on the podcast before, so go back into our last podcast and talk about where Harrison Martin's can get better.
Right. I was listening when I was watching the Spurs and Grizzlies the other day. They were talking about the growth of Kawhi Leonard and how he's been able to grow so quickly in this league and how much better he's gotten over the last 2, 3, 4 years. I'm not saying Barnes is going to do that, but if he can become a star / I'll put that in there, superstar in this league, man, that'll be great for the Mavericks. Absolutely.
It'd be awesome because that could be – I think he could be, you know, second or third best player on like a good playoff team.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I agree.
Would you take? Okay.
At first, I thought you were gonna say like second, third best player in the league, and I was like,
oh no. You look at those Rockets teams, and you look at the Thunder team. Is there a player on there that you would take over Harrison Barnes besides Russell Westbrook and James Harden?
No.
Isn't that interesting? He wouldn't take any of those guys.
No.
And people are like, oh, the Rockets are such a good team. So my guy, I think they can make really big improvement. I think Yogi. I think relative to where he came in, I mean, yeah, he had the big, you know, Yogi Mania week where he played super well. I think we can see that more consistently. I think his jumper is just there. I think he has to work on some of his other parts of the game where that's understanding the offense and finding players and making sure he finds Dirk when he picks and pops, making sure he passes it to Dirk because he missed him a lot this year. I think Yogi can make a lot of big improvements. I think he can even more solidify himself as a third guard on like a really good team and potentially a starter.
And he has to make adjustments too, just because there's more of a scout on him now. People can prepare for him a lot better. So
completely true.
Yeah, you know, we'll see how that goes for him.
Yeah. Let's see. Where else are we gonna go? We're almost done here. We said we were going to talk about NBA playoffs, but we went almost the whole time.
Talk about playoffs.
Playoffs?
We went almost the whole time talking about Mavericks, which I don't know how we do every single week because it doesn't seem like there's that much, but somehow we...
Are we gay? We put some quotes out and we can talk. I do want to mention some things about the playoffs, though.
Go ahead. Yeah, you got a thing. Go.
Yeah, Rajon Rondo. The Boston Celtics, Chicago Bulls. The Bulls lead the series 2-0. And
wait, say that name again.
Rajon Rondo. Wait, Rajon Rondo, as much as everybody in this room, both me and Nick, and I'm sure hopefully you guys listening to this fans.
Oh, you stink!
I hope you get, he's not very well liked in the city of Dallas. But the Bulls lead the Celtics. Bulls are the 8 seed, Celtics are the 1 seed. The Bulls lead 2-0.
Wait, you want to do a beef of the week with this?
No, I don't.
All right.
But it's pretty interesting because Rajon Rondo, we all remember his exit here in Dallas didn't end too well. He's been phenomenal for the Bulls so far in the first 2 games of the playoffs. And
can't say that the whole season, but definitely these first 2 games.
Right. Dwayne Wade, I'm about to play this. Dwayne Wade was asked a question about how great Rajon Rondo is, and here we have that for you. Actually, we might be having some internet issues in here. But basically, Dwayne Wade talked about Rajon Rondo's his leadership and saying how, as a competitor...
What?
Yeah.
Leadership?
Yeah.
How dare he?
Right. And the thing is that he talked about how when Wade played in Miami and Rondo played in Boston, he hated him. Because he's so good at acknowledging taking out your first and second option.
Yeah.
Which you can make that argument that he's done that so far in the series. But he said he's very focused, very, very focused. And as I'm listening to this, I believe that. But where was that focus in Dallas? Like it wasn't there. And it was very noticeable right when Rondo got here. Did he just not want to be here? Did he not like Rick Carlisle? What was it? Was it just
maybe, you know, like you said earlier, Mark Cuban said something to him that
we
haven't heard of.
Right. Maybe. I don't know. But we did not. The Rondo that we've seen, we know Rondo's erratic. He's been that his entire career everywhere he's gone. But particularly in these first 2 games on the road, he looks like playoff Rondo that we remember from the Celtics. Yeah. He looks really good. And he had, what, 11 points, 14 rebounds, 9 assists the other day?
Jeez.
Like he played really, really well. And
the 8 seed Bulls, the 41-41 Bulls,
won the first 2 games in Boston.
2-0.
Right. Where was that? And the funny thing is, the follow-up question was right after Wade's question, a reporter asked Rondo a question about his leadership and whatnot. He was like, you know, I'm just playing a game, but, you know, I have to help my teammates and I have to, you know, be in sync and do this. Where in the world was that with the Mavs?
That could have been. I mean, you're going to look back at that team and be like, that could have been something awesome. Like, that team was, before the Rondo trade, was number one in offensive rating in the NBA.
Sure. When the Mavericks got Rondo, we were looking at that starting five of Rondo, Monte, Chandler Parsons, Dirk Nowitzki, and Tyson Chandler. We were like, this could be very scary.
Do you look back on that trade and blame the front office for making that trade?
Do I blame? No, I don't blame them for making the trade. But
it didn't turn out great.
It didn't turn out
great. The results weren't there.
It wasn't. You're right. But I do believe that front offices should be aggressive.
And that was an aggressive move.
The Mavericks were aggressive. They went for it. They swung for it. And they missed. It was like it looked like at the time it was like in baseball. That one's hit deep in the left field. It is a foul. It was so close to home run, but it just drifted a little left. That's pretty much what happened with Rondo.
And Jay Crowder's still starting on the Celtics.
Number one seeded Celtics out east. Isn't that crazy?
And it's crazy that Justin Anderson could do the same thing with the 76ers, like be that wing guy that was just put into a trade and could end up being.
Yeah,
not as
it's unfortunate he's
not
in Philly,
likely,
but maybe on another team.
But Philly could end up being Boston in a couple years. We talked about how Boston was, you know, a bad team with young players, and then all of a sudden they turned into this, you know, good team now with all these assets.
You know why I don't think that'll happen with Philly compared to Boston?
Because you don't think Joel Embiid's going to play enough games. But if
he does,
the team is like average.
I'm actually
crazy.
Going to use something that you have used many times.
Go ahead.
Continuity. What is it? What's the word? I can't pronounce it.
I'm going to let you try to figure that one out.
Continuity. I can't pronounce the word. Anyway, I said it right in my head.
Continuity.
Okay, I can't. I can't say it. Okay, anyway, that is
brought to you by continuity.
Yeah, that is very important, though.
Continuity.
And the Celtics, I know they got rid of Doc Rivers, but Danny Ainge has been there for a long time now, and his front office has been there for a long time now, and he bought in Brad Stevens, and he's helping these guys build and grow. Philly has not, if you look at their history, they haven't shown, I'm not going to say that word because I can't pronounce it.
Continuity.
Yeah. They haven't shown that. So that's why I'm a little more iffy with the Sixers than I would be with Boston.
Fair. All right. You got anything else to say about Rondo? Any other rant you want to go on about Rajon Rondo? Where was it, Rondo?
I do have one. It's not really a beef of a week, but our good friend, Zach Lowe. I just want to know, who in the world, why did you have the Grizzlies playing with the Spurs? Just why? And why did other people online...
Being competitive with the Spurs. Zach Lowe was one that was one of the people. And there was a couple other, I just can't remember their names.
Why?
But saying that the Grizzlies could be competitive with the Spurs.
I don't understand. I don't want to get mad. I just don't understand it.
You have two potentially all NBA players, and anything can happen in a series. But the Tony Allen injury, I think, really killed the Grizzlies.
Oh, like, sure.
I think they were talking about that before the Tony Allen injury actually was like.
Sure, but I still think the Spurs are the Patriots, and the Grizzlies are like the Bengals. Sorry.
Ugh.
But it's just like.
For all the new people, I'm from Cincinnati, so I grew up a Bengals Reds fan. I'm kind of on them. Of course, they're on their
and the
success,
Grizzlies are
so.
It'd be like the Bengals playing the Patriots. They're not going to win. And the Grizzlies playing the Spurs. They're not going to win.
There you go. Some NFL-NBA crossover. Shout out to crossover.
Yeah, right?
That's been the Mavs Fanatic Podcast, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Of course, again, follow us. I'm at Nick Van Exit.
And I'm at TamaT717. And by the way, I have to tell this for all our friends on Dash. I am right. Nick's always wrong. That's the end of the story.
Thanks so much for listening to us again. If you're listening on Dash and you missed some of the show, you can check us on the podcast. Go ahead and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Almighty Baller, any place that you listen to your podcast. Google Play, I think we're also there.
And download Dash, folks.
And download Absolutely. Dash. If you're listening on the podcast, go ahead and download Dash. We're there 3 a.m. and 7:30 every single Thursday, even throughout the summer.
You better listen at 3.
Because there's going to be, if you're up late and you
work overnight.
If Wednesday was just one heck of a day for you.
Right. And you're actually, I know some people in Salem who work at overnights. I would tell them to listen.
There you go. Listen on Dash.
Absolutely.
Listen on Dash to us. So thanks so much for listening to us, guys. And we will catch you on Twitter, or we will catch you next week.
Later.